Game time.
Time is now!
Driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go!
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Back for a very fun hour two of the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner. We've got Wesley Iwundu on deck here in the opening segment. Haters and Ballers in the hole at 525. Wesley Iwundu Draft Edition. You can't be serious featuring an awesome Stephen A. Smith quote from earlier today. As well, we'll get you out of here at 5:50. You can tweet us at the game KMAN if you have questions or comments, and perhaps we can take some phone calls later on in the hour as well.
I just realized that because I have to take off a little bit early today, I'm not going to be a part of the You Can't Be Serious segment with Stephen A., and I'm kind of sad about it.
Yeah, well, you're lost.
I know.
You bail on the show, that's what happens.
Sorry.
If you missed Curtis Kelly in hour one, it was an awesome interview. That'll be on the podcast page, newsradiokman.com, the on-demand tab. Also, now in the iTunes podcast store, just search the game KMAN. Still working on the name, man. It pops up as Wildcat Insider. We're trying to figure it out. But it has the KMAN logo. You'll see the date, the show. You can play it on the iTunes podcast thing. So much more convenient for you there. Promise, we're trying to get that figured out. All right, Wesley Iwundu was gracious enough with his time today in New York. He is going to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn for the NBA draft to spend some time with me earlier today, which was awesome. I would imagine a lot of emotions have to be flowing through the body of Wesley Iwundu right now. So just what are those emotions like at the moment?
Oh, man, yeah, thank you for having me. And, you know, I'm pretty excited right now, man. You got the draft later tonight. You know, it's been like all the dream come true, so I'm just taking it all in. You know, as the moment get closer, but I'm definitely excited.
What has life been like for you since we last saw you in the season ended in the NCAA tournament?
Man, it's been a lot of traveling, you know, from city to city, different workouts. Just back and forth between San Diego and all the different teams I've been working on for. So, you know, the process has been, man, it's been a long one, but, you know, one I can't complain about. You know, I really enjoyed it. You know, been having a lot of fun with it. So, it's been pretty good.
Who are the teams that have worked you out the most or that you feel like have shown you the most interest heading into tonight?
Man, this is, you know, quite a few teams to name. This Orlando, the Hawks, Charlotte, the Nets, the Lakers. It's a lot of teams in there that, you know, I can say, but it's just, you know, you never know with the draft approach. There's so many things, you know, that happen between now and then with all the trades going around. So it's just so many things that can occur in the next few hours.
Talking right out of Wesley Iwundu before the NBA draft tonight. I mean, what have you been hearing in general from NBA teams about what they like and what they want to see you work on going into it?
The biggest thing, you know, from most teams has been the versatility aspect of the, you know, the game, just being able to guard multiple positions on the defensive end, and also being able to do a lot of things on the offensive end, you know, not just scoring the ball, but, you know, passing, rebounding, dribbling. Pick and roll situations, that's been a big thing, you know, going around with me. So one thing they say they, you know, want to continue to see is just me continue to improve my shot, you know, and make sure I stay consistent, you know, with techniques and just keep getting better at that every day. And, of course, getting stronger too, you know, while, as I reach the next level.
Hey, it's interesting with the shot. I was reading the other day that Bruce Weber said at one point in time when you were working on that, they painted – like a stripe on the basketball so that you could see the rotation. Is that true? I mean, what all did you do to try and improve that?
Oh, man, we did everything you could name in the book. You know, we had an eye patch. We painted white stripes on the ball to see the rotation on the ball. We had color nets, just aiming at different targets. We did everything, man. So it paid off, you know. All the hard work, all the research, all the studying behind my shot, it paid off, you know. And pretty much like one summer almost, off for me, man, but it definitely paid off in the end.
Talking right now with Wesley Iwundu. All this attention for you in the NBA draft seemed to really, really pick up with the way that you played at the end of the year, but I'm curious, from your standpoint, when did you feel like this was a realistic possibility getting drafted?
I kind of started hearing, you know, a lot of talk closer to the beginning of conference, you know, just more and more guys, you know, speaking of how they was coming to the game to watch me, so somewhere around like the beginning of conference play, that's when I started getting the feeling like this dream is like starting to, you know, coming to my vision, and I'm starting to see it more clear. So it was around that time.
You know, part of what I think is so cool about you being here on the cusp of getting drafted is you were a guy coming up in high school playing on an AAU team with the Harrison Twins who went to Kentucky. You were always like the overlooked guy. I mean, there's got to be some sense of satisfaction here that you got to lead your team to the tournament your senior year, be the guy. and now you're right here for the NBA draft. I mean, does it feel different now than some of that did earlier on?
Oh, man, for sure. You know, especially from where I came from, you know, as a player, you know, you can say I was definitely overlooked a lot. But, you know, I just, you know, stayed a path, stayed on course, and, you know, stayed to myself and remained humble in the whole process and paid off, you know. So I definitely look back at those times and cherish those moments. But to be where I am now, I can't be, you know, even more. I'm just happy, man, you know, to be living this experience and actually be in it. It's a great feeling.
Have you heard from those guys, Harrison Twins, lately?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. You know, we still speak probably every other week, man. You know, I still got a good relationship with those guys. As far as, you know, any of my other old teammates go on, so, you know, I still try to keep connections and, you know, talk with those guys every so often.
Wesley Iwundu chatting with me here on the game. You know, another thing, and I remember I think you talking about this at the NCAA tournament because Creighton and Marcus Foster were there, but you still have a good relationship with Marcus?
Yeah, for sure, man. That's my guy. You know, he's actually had a great season over at Creighton. Looking to have an even better one, you know, this year coming up. But, yeah, we still talk, man. We talk a lot, man, to be honest, you know. So definitely the connection is still there between us two.
Well, I'm sure that this is something you dreamed about as a kid, coming up to the NBA draft. Has it been different than you pictured it when you were growing up dreaming about this thing?
It's been everything, you know, I dreamed of, to be honest, everything I expected. You know, just, like I said, just remaining humble and just taking in the whole experience as a player. Where I'm at right now, man, it's just crazy, you know, just looking back and just always having conversations about playing in the NBA, being in the draft. And it's finally here, so it's like it's unreal, man. It's still haven't. I think in the next 2 hours, it's gonna hit me for real. Like, man, I'm really here. But you know, every time I'm like, man, am I awake? Like, is this a game? Is this real life? But you know, it's a great experience.
Wesley Iwundu's with me. Who have you leaned on the most for advice during the draft process?
Definitely my older brother, and I've been talking with Coach Webber a lot. Also, you know. Probably every other day, you know, after a workout or something, you know, I speak with Coach Webber. He just asked me how things going, trying to give me some advice here and there, how to take care of my body, you know, making sure I'm eating right. Just all the little small things, you know, to help you to be a good player.
As far as that goes, like eating right, taking care of your body, has it changed from when you were in college? Like, is it, like, freshman year Wesley Iwundu, how much different is what you're doing to take care of your body right now from then?
I can tell you, there's no McDonald's in my diet no more, you know, as it was my freshman year. You know, a lot of the fast food is gone, man. So it's a lot of fish oil, salmon, greens, you know, just a lot of good healthy stuff, man, to try to keep you safe and fit, you know, for this long process. Because the pre-draft process, it's a lot of basketball and a lot of traveling. So you want to make sure that you're eating right, you know, and just staying healthy throughout the process.
Well, if you get drafted, it's going to be the first K-State draft pick in almost a decade. Who do you think out of your former teammates that are still here in Manhattan has the best shot to join you someday as a draft pick?
Man, I hope all of them. You know, I hope all of them. The opportunity is there. You know, I just, you know, hope they use my story as motivation. Man, if you just put in the work, you know, you stay true to yourself, do what you do, and then the NBA guys will find you. You know, they're not going to run for you. They definitely don't come to you. But, you know, I want to see all of them have the opportunity to try to get, you know, to at least where I'm at right now. And I have the opportunity to play in the NBA. So I'm pulling for all those guys out there.
Well, Wes, before I let you go, I know I mentioned that you did go to New York for the draft process. I'm not going to be in the green room, but we'll be there. And to me, I like the fact that you do that, but I would imagine there's got to be like some apprehension if you don't get drafted. I mean, do you worry about that type of thing, having to be there if it doesn't happen?
Man, drafted or not, you know, the experience is definitely great and one that I don't want to pass up, you know, but we definitely do feel good about the draft right now going into it. So it's an experience, you know, that I'm looking forward to, man. And you know, once my name is called, you know, I'm looking forward to walking up on stage and shaking hands. So it'll definitely be a good experience.
Well, Wes, really appreciate the time, man. We're all rooting for you. Best of luck as you move on with your professional basketball career, and we'll be watching you. All right, there is Wesley Iwundu from earlier today. Gracious enough to spend some time on the eve of the NBA draft. He is going to be in the Barclays Center, so if you do hear his name called, likely in the second round, if it happens, Wes will be there to go shake Commissioner Adam Silver's hand up on stage. All right, speaking of Wesley Iwundu and the draft and where he might go, there are a lot of different predictions, prognostications. We'll cover that ground in Haters and Ballers coming up next. Back here on the game, John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner, You Can't Be Serious, featuring a tremendous Stephen A. Smith quote and some audio from him at 5:50. Word on the street is, I don't want to promise anything right now, but I think I've got an insider for the big event going on in Manhattan this weekend, coming on at 5:40 to replace Tyler, who's taking off early.
No street has that word on it. You just said word on the street. No one's talking about that.
It's word on my street, homie. What's going down on my block? I'm about to do Haters and Ballers here. Wesley Iwundu Draft Edition, the game KMAN. If you have questions or comments here throughout this, Wesley Iwundu could be an NBA draft pick tonight. Apparently, I'm a hater because I say flip a coin. Most mock drafts have him projected in the second round. He's a college senior. Not too many of those guys go throughout the draft anymore because the NBA just does not place a whole lot of value on him, whether you agree with that or not.
We did flip a coin, and he's getting drafted, so we don't have to worry about that
anymore. Well, that is true. So the official game prediction here is that Wesley Iwundu does get drafted.
Yes.
We flipped a coin not once but twice, and twice in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It came up heads for Wesley Iwundu getting drafted. If you're unfamiliar with Haters and Ballers, we go through and take, in this case, those who have predicted Wesley Iwundu to get drafted high, said nice things about Wesley Iwundu. They're going to be the ballers. Those that think the opposite, they will be the haters. We have some audio that goes along with that for all the haters and ballers. We like to start with a hater so that we end on a baller. So leading off the haters here, and this is part of what gives me some pause and why I just try and approach this with a realistic take and realistic expectations. ESPN's, is it Chad Ford or Chad 40? I always get it confused because like Pat 40.
It is Chad Ford.
Chad Ford.
Yes.
Okay. Chad Ford. His mock draft on ESPN.com has two rounds. Wesley Iwundu is nowhere to be found there at all. So, out of the gates, hater number one, ESPN.com, and Chad Ford.
Oh, man. Hey.
Is that new?
Nope. That has always been there.
Oh.
Chappelle Show.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not the only hater here. That's a well-respected, well-regarded NBA draft analyst, expert, whatever you want to call him. I'm not alone in just trying to be cautious here. Baller number one, though, this was an interview from a couple of weeks ago. We also played some audio from him earlier this week as well because he's been in town. But Rodney Magruder, now of the Miami Heat in the NBA, played more games than any other member of the NBA Heat this year, so he knows a thing or two about getting to the NBA, getting to the league. He thinks that Wesley Iwundu is a guy that can make it in the NBA.
Oh, I watch him a lot. I made it back in the summers and played with him, played against him. You know, I like him. He's a talented guy. You know, he got a big upside. You know, he's about 6'8", 6'7". You know, long wingspan. I think he'll be a good pro.
So, Rodney Magruder becomes baller number one.
Ball alert, it's a ball alert. Work for them dollars, yeah. Ball alert, it's a ball alert. Work for them dollars, yeah.
I think that might be my favorite baller.
That's a terrible song.
Oh.
I just heard 6 seconds of it.
Don't you hate on Tyga?
My favorite thing about this segment is that like 20% of it is just us debating the clips that we're using for this.
Well, that's kind of the whole point. I probably need to go find some more. I can't remember what it was. I was thinking the other day, I was listening to a song, and I was like, ooh, that'd be a good, I don't remember if it was hater or baller, but I'll try and refresh these for the next time we do it, all right? I promise you that. All right, we're through one hater and one baller. Let's go with hater number two, and this one I actually just found Googling some projections for Wesley Iwundu. It's from the Atlanta Hawks SB Nation site. I guess they must not be really in the market for Wesley Iwundu because, well, evaluating some prospective draft picks for them, they had this to say about Wesley Iwundu. They hold pick number 31 in the second round. It says, quote, I would think that the Hawks will very likely be able to get a better value player with their first pick in the second round. So I'm sorry, Atlanta Hawks, SB Nation site, you have become hater number two. See, no comments on that song being
on. That one's pretty bad.
I think we're all fine with it.
No, I'm not.
Mitch
I'm
doesn't
not at
like
all.
It.
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan.
I'm not either, but
Mitch is standing his ground over there, hating on all these songs. Baller number two. Now, this is the best projection you can find for Wesley Wundu in the NBA draft right now. I have gone to some NBA fan friends of mine to try and gauge just how credible NBADraft.net is. It seems like people think it's not the most credible in the world. I admit that I am somewhat ignorant on it, but they do actually have Wes slipping into the first round at number 28 overall, too.
Lake Show.
Your L.A. Lakers.
My L.A. Lakers. Okay.
They also have him as the top-rated college senior in the draft. So a couple big boosts there from NBADraft.net if you put much into that. And since it is your L.A. Lakers that you so badly want him to go to, I'm going to play your favorite baller clip here for baller number two, NBADraft.net.
See, that just makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it.
You got to be comfortable enough to handle some R. Kelly, my friend. If you can't do that, what do you have in this life if you can't stomach a little R. Kelly?
But the Lakers are not the team that I would be the most upset to see Wesley Wundu end up with. That would be the Knicks, because the Knicks are an absolute, well, I mean, Stephen A. Smith will summarize it at 550, but it's a dumpster fire right now, and I would hate to see him in that situation.
Mitch, would you rather listen to R. Kelly or Tyga?
Yeah, you were not interested in that analysis whatsoever.
Nope.
R. Kelly.
Okay.
Easy.
Good. Yeah, see, Mitch is comfortable over there. He can handle some R. Kelly. Good for you, Mitch. All right. Hater number three. This was Tyler put me on the chopping block here since I opened up the show just trying to say that I am approaching this with cautious optimism tonight. That's probably a better phrase for my viewpoint on Wesley Wundu getting drafted tonight. And maybe I should have floated that in the opening segment. But just because there are dwindling amounts of college seniors who get drafted and most of the projections have West in the second round, I think that can turn into a crapshoot. And it gives me some pause on whether or not he will get drafted. But here is what I had to say, at least a part of it in the opening segment that classifies me as a Wesley Wundu hater here. So I am hater number three. And I think if you are an NBA or a college senior, that is, who is projected by most mocks to be in a second-round pick, Flip a coin. Mitch loved the flip a coin there line from me as well in the open.
And we did, and it was settled.
We did, so I guess that really, really makes me a big-time hater.
Super friend, I watch me jocking on them, hate them, man. When I do that, soldier boy, I lean to the left and crank that thing now. You!
Boy, I just got cranked on by Soulja Boy. It's not a great feeling. It's a tough blow.
So I just want to settle this right now, John. Does Wesley Wundu get drafted tonight? Yes or no?
Well, we flipped a coin and it said yes.
Well, I want to know your opinion. Is it yes or no?
And do not pander right now.
Do I need to play you the audio again? Let's listen again to what I said. This is exactly what I said about what I think. Flip a coin. We then flipped a coin. And it came up, yes, he will get drafted.
So you're saying, yes, Wesley is drafted tonight.
So, yes, that is my official prediction then.
Okay.
That's how it goes.
Is that your gut feeling? Or is that you're just going with the coin?
I don't go with my gut. I go with my head. I'm just trying to be logical here. I feel like I've laid it all out. I feel like it's very statistically sound. That's what I got. But most importantly, we need a baller to end on here. And this is a combo baller. Not sure that we've ever done this before in Haters and Ballers. But to end here, we will do a combo baller, and that is all the mock drafts that do have Wesley Wundu anywhere between number 36 overall to number 43 overall. That's the common range that you find him in, like the middle of the second round. That would be NBA Draft Express, CBS Sports, Sports Illustrated, and NBA.com. All have Wesley Wundu as a mid-second round pick, so they will be the final ballers of Haters and Ballers.
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full grown.
I think I saved the best ballers for last there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you see Destiny's Child in concert one time?
Yep.
And we always go over that?
Bramlage Coliseum.
Okay.
Yep.
Where's Destiny's Child rank on your favorites of the Haters and Ballers?
I don't know. It's definitely not the favorite. Not the worst, though, either. Tyga is there. Tyga is the worst.
What's the best then? Is there a couple?
Oh, Chappelle Show. That's without a doubt my favorite.
I was hoping you were going to give me two so I could play Flip a Coin again. As far as which one's your favorite.
Or maybe, might be Soulja Boy. I don't know. Might have to
Flip a Coin.
Yeah. Flip a Coin.
Flip a Coin. That's right. All right. You Can't Be Serious is coming up in a little under 20 minutes. Great Stephen A. Smith audio. I'll have to go check, man. I'm going to have to scour the building here to see if I have my my Country Stampede expert set to join me next segment. Otherwise, I'll have to improvise. Hey, stay tuned to find out here on The Game. Rolling along here on The Game. You Can't Be Serious coming up in about 10 minutes. Great Stephen A. Smith sound for you. He is the best at creating that. I did find my Country Stampede expert. Get to that in just a moment. But, Mitch, Twitter is telling me this is from 3 hours ago, so you got bored, like, prepping for the show here today? This wasn't even getting bored during the show? Have we been entertaining enough today?
You know, not until this Chiefs news came out. I needed something to do.
Okay, yeah, the breaking Chiefs news this afternoon was that they've parted ways with John Dorsey while extending Andy Reid. It's crazy. I'm seeing rumors on both sides of the aisle right now that, like, some are saying this was all a Andy Reid v. John Dorsey fight. Others are saying it was all Clark Hunt. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that Mitch got bored earlier today.
Since Mitch is bored with the show, it's time for his WTF Fact of the Day.
And I'm like, WTF is going on around here?
I'm not going to lie, man. This first one is one of the weirdest WTF facts I've ever seen you throw out there. There are special bins in Mexico City where you put your dog waste in it and you get free Wi-Fi. Yeah. The more dog waste, the longer the free Wi-Fi.
And better the Wi-Fi.
Oh, and better the Wi-Fi.
Yes. I looked it up. I found an article on it. That's a true story.
Is that like their version of net neutrality?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Great. Well, glad that they believe in it. All right, now number two, to play off that, Mitch, I feel like you're trying to stir the pot with this one.
Not at all. I just thought it was really fascinating.
You're trying to stir the pot. No, especially with this lively young gentleman to my right. Yeah, and with on the eve of Country Stampede, you're going to tell me that you are not trying to stir the pot with WTF fact number two being the median viewer age of Fox News is 68 years old.
I will back up saying I'm not stirring the pot because I looked it up, and that number comes from Fox News itself.
I mean, these facts always pass your fact-checking. I mean, I think we trust them by now. I'm not trying to doubt that they are correct here and that you're putting correct information by retweeting out there here, but I think that was meant to stir the pot, my friend.
Apparently, 2 years ago, the median age was 65. Now it is up three ages.
Gotten older, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Imagine that. All right, well, Country Stampede starts tonight. As you can probably tell if you've listened to the show and Haters and Ballers that we just did right there, not a whole lot of country music flair. I do always admit every year, as much as I will sit here and make fun of it and hate on just about everything involved with country music, Country Stampede is a good time. I do typically have a good time when I go out there. I've had some fun. Bring in someone who knows much more about it, though. That is friend Tyler Jackson from Tyler and Casey in the Morning over on our sister station, Hot Country B104.7. He is in full garb, ready to go. And by full garb, I mean, what would you call that?
I got like my cutoff t-shirt
he's
on.
Got a
me.
Cut,
don't be
yeah,
hating
but that's,
on this,
it's
man.
Not just cut off. Like, it's not just like the sleeves are cut off. Like, I've got an old middle school football shirt with the sleeves cut off. I mean, you've done it like down the rib cage
you
here.
You got to do it properly.
It's pretty.
It's all about the tan lines.
It's pretty impressive. Josh Abbott band shirt. You have a. But see, the hat doesn't really go with it. The hat that you're wearing is more like a polo kind of bro hat.
It's not a polo hat. It's called Heartland Heritage.
Well, but
it's a quail. It's a bobcat quail.
It looks like one of those hats that would just have the polo Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, no,
logo
it's pretty similar, though.
Like,
it looks
very
good, though.
It's two worlds coming together. Okay, look, whatever. I'm going to go to Country Stampede.
And you're going to put on a good time like you always do each and every year. You should see this guy, Mitch. Do you ever go to Stampede?
I've never been, but I'm sure he lets loose.
John Kurtz is one of my absolute most favorite people to go to Stampede with. I mean, he puts on a show.
I put on a show? Do I put on a show?
We all put on a show. It's Country Stampede. Let's be honest.
Is that because Nebraska fans show up?
Yeah, well, that's right. We talked about that on the show last year. I almost got in a fight with a Nebraska fan at the porta potties. because I'm trying to remember what exactly started that.
Well, because they start running the mouth. They say, they 76, 12, and 1 all time.
No, that's right, because they do the there's so many people that migrate from Nebraska. The thriving metropolis is in Nebraska. They migrate here, and they do that the Go Big Red chant. You know, Go Big Red. And so I said 5 and 7. that did not go over well with an older gentleman at the porta potties. I thought, man, I've never been in a fight in my life. I thought I was about to throw down.
Nebraska fans, man, that's what they got. That's what they got. So
a little sensitive.
So I got to ask you, out of the whole entire lineup throughout the whole entire weekend, do you know anybody?
Well, I mean, like, I know Big and Rich,
okay,
who is tonight. More on that in a moment. And then, like, I don't know anything by this Stapleton guy, but I know that everybody seems to really like him.
That's the thing about it. He doesn't get a whole lot of radio play compared to everybody else.
He's not.
But
like
just for the fact that he wins Grammys.
This is not bro country. It's not bro country.
No, it's real country. That's okay. The thing about it.
Who's the other big one? It's the Chattahoochee guy, right?
Alan Jackson.
Everybody knows
respect.
Alan Jackson is.
Show some respect.
I would go see him.
I'm respecting. I mean, that's the song I know. Everyone, I'm way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, something hotter than a – I don't know, man.
I tell you, one of the newer up-and-coming artists I'm most looking forward to is coming up tonight here in about 45 minutes at 6:30. His name is Tucker Beathard. Do you know anything about him?
No.
He was actually made an appearance on the Dan Patrick Show. So his grandpa's name is Bobby Beathard. He was a scout for the Chiefs Super Bowl winning team in 1969.
Okay.
He was also the general manager of the San Diego Chargers whenever they went to the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. So his grandpa's like got some clout. And then his brother, C.J. Beathard, who is the quarterback at the University of Iowa.
At Iowa.
Yeah.
Oh, my boy. You know how much I love Iowa football.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
C.J. Beathard, you said it was his brother?
That's his brother, yeah.
C.J. Beathard's brother is going to be at Country Stampede, huh?
C.J. Beathard's brother is going to be one of the best, bright, up-and-coming country stars out there.
Boy, so...
How about that?
Can I follow up? Could I book in, like, my near-Nebraska fight last year with an Iowa football fight this year? Because, trust me, I could get after some Iowa football fans as well. I've got plenty of ammo. Locked and loaded there.
I mean,
maybe is C.J. Beathard going to be here?
Possibly.
What's that guy doing? Did he get drafted? I forget. I thought Iowa's quarterback got drafted, I thought, this last year. Mitch is going to look that up. I thought C.J. Beathard maybe got drafted. But if he's here at Country Stampede, it's going to be hard for me to resist, my friend.
He's got long hair, so you just look for a guy with long hair and say, hey, are you C.J.? That's about all you can do.
Yeah, well, apparently I'm not very bashful at Country Stampede, as
no,
we
you're
can
not.
Tell from
no.
last year. So I guess I would be down with that.
He was the third rounder to the 49ers.
Yeah, that's right. The 49ers, because everyone was like, John Lynch, what are you doing drafting C.J. Beathard? Oh, my.
There's his mug.
Told you he's got the long hair.
And long hair.
Look at that.
That hair. Oh, okay.
Kind of looks like a young Alan Jackson a little bit,
no,
does he?
No, it
know?
Doesn't. Come don't on. Offend that. You got, why are you guys offending Alan Jackson?
It's the hair.
Where were you when Mitch compared C.J. Beathard
By the
to
way,
Alan Jackson?
Mercury Blues. Mercury Blues is my favorite Alan Jackson
song.
See, I just pulled another Alan Jackson song. Look at this country music.
Well, you pulled that out because of South Park.
That is correct.
You don't even know my name. That's a good one. I mean, we can go on and on about Alan Jackson. But nevertheless, Kurtz, you're going out tonight, right?
Yes.
You go back out tomorrow night, right?
Probably, yes.
And then you're going back out on Saturday.
Definitely during the day. I don't. Who is the Saturday night? Is that?
It's Alan Jackson. Yeah. Okay. So tonight we've got Thomas Rhett. He's the big headliner. You got Big and Rich also, Tucker Beathard. Tomorrow night, you've got Brothers Osborne is the headliner, followed by Chris Stapleton. Saturday night's Old Dominion, and then Alan Jackson.
Like Old Dominion, the basketball team?
Not Old Dominion, the basketball team, but the guys do hail from Virginia, so that's where they get their name.
Okay.
They're some multi-talented artists out at this year's Stampede.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to tonight? How could we get by without this? College Game Day theme song, man. God, look at these guys.
Is that still the theme song?
Yeah, it says Coming to Your City 2016.
Wow. Wow. Do you know how long it's been since Big and Rich has had a hit? It's been a while.
God. I mean, I liked it better when College Game Day had Bubba Sparks doing the intro. I thought that was a little better than the Coming to Your City.
You know what the secret is for a country artist to, if you haven't had an artist in a while, had a hit in a while, you know what the secret is to finally have a hit again? Find a different songwriter.
Well, yeah.
Because we all know when you make it big, you don't write your songs any longer. Somebody's going to write them for you.
For the most part, I mean, you can argue the George Strait factor on that.
Does he have other people writing the songs?
95% of them. All of his number one hits, yeah. A couple early songs for George Strait, then some of the later songs were the only ones that he wrote. But who cares? Everything he touched turned to solid country gold.
I would think some people care, right? Don't you want your artist to maybe write?
Well, they're not rock stars, John.
Yeah. Yeah, and George Strait can sell out 100,000 tickets at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, so...
I mean,
what
like,
do we know?
Could someone just start giving me all the content for the show every day, and I can just sit here and like read it off a sheet and just deliver it? Maybe that. How do you even know? You're all calling me a hater for my Wesley Wundu take from the beginning. How do you even know I wrote that? Maybe I had a ghostwriter for me. Maybe I had someone writing it for me, just like I'm George Strait, like I'm a country music star.
Well, that's a trade secret in the big time, Kurtz. I mean, everybody writes all this stuff.
That's right.
For
him. Hey, me and George Strait, peas in a pod, baby.
All right. Well, I'm getting cold in my cutoff.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna
it is a little
there.
Cold in here. Tyler, appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome, my dude.
Listen to Tyler and Casey in the morning on
High
Country B104.7.
Gosh, he's beautiful.
Did you hear that?
So, we'll open it up to questions.
Johnny Idiot Face over there is never going to bring you a title.
This guy sucks.
Cliff Kingsbury gets me hot and bothered, and I love it. There, I said it. That was from a man.
I'm a 4-3 wide receiver. Why should I play at Michigan?
You are?
That was a clunk. There's not much I can do about that.
You can't be serious.
So, we got the NBA draft tonight, but the NBA offseason is what like everyone's talking about. Trades and whatnot. I'm seeing it go nuts. And like, I don't know enough about the NBA to fully understand why people think that Phil Jackson is the dumbest person in the sports world for wanting to trade Kristaps Porzingis. But people have been losing their minds, including Stephen A. Smith. And I believe, isn't that what this is in reference to? Like he's ripping on Phil Jackson?
Yes. Okay. I think so.
So he's ripping on Phil Jackson here. Going back to one of Phil Jackson's first moves, I guess, with the New York Knicks. And who he signed or with the I don't know. Whoever he signed, at some point in time he signed Lamar Odom. So Stephen A. Smith just went out there with a heck of an accusation here about Mr. Odom.
His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack. Who was on crack?
Is that why you like him so much, just because he yells crack really loud?
Yeah, well, it's a place. Like, everybody's talking about this. Lamar Odom apparently is going to sue him.
Good.
Wants to sue him. Now, I know Lamar Odom, I mean, he had that whole deal where he was, like, hospitalized and on a bunch of different drugs or something, but I don't know if Stephen A. Smith's got inside sources about the crack or what it was, but either way, you can't deny that Stephen A. Smith sure knows how to get people talking and sure knows how to deliver some entertaining lines on TV and radio.
Well, Skip Bayless said nothing about crack this morning, so I guess it is Stephen A. winning the morning talk today.
Did anybody even know that Skip Bayless still exists?
Well, that's one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Fox now. Stephen A's still in the mothership. All right, hey, you know, I'm not the type of guy, you know, that abides by every unwritten rule, you know, baseball, golf, whatever. You know, I think some of them are kind of silly. Some of them actually you should abide by, including not driving a golf cart on the green. Now, if you own the golf course, you own the green, it's your golf cart. That's maybe one argument, but I still think you shouldn't do it. Well, our president, Donald Trump, he has finally been caught on camera doing something very horrible. As earlier today, in his 24th golf trip since becoming president, he was caught driving, and not only just driving, but he was driving a little bit, I don't know if you want to call it reckless, but maybe the pedals to the metal, so to speak, as he took off on that green. And now, from what I understand, you're not supposed to drive on the green.
And this is where
when you're golfing.
This is where I need someone. Like, we could have used Tyler here, and I asked him about this earlier. I mean, I've been golfing a handful of times in my life.
Right.
I probably had like some vague idea that you're not supposed to drive a golf cart on a green, but I mean, people are acting like this is the worst kind of decorum you could ever exude on a golf course.
Well,
like the worst thing you could ever do.
I've been golfing one time where a golf cart was involved, and I mean, hole number one, I drove up on the green and I got yelled at. I was like, the people are like, what are you doing? Get off the green. And apparently, I talked to even Tyler Dreiling before this.
Yeah, he's the golfer out of us.
Well, any mention it has to do with the grass. Like when it's hot, you can really tear it up if you're on the green. So you're supposed to stay away. Just stay on the cart pass. I looked up information why you shouldn't be on the green. People just say don't do it. It's a cardinal rule. You do not drive your golf cart on the green. But I guess if you're on the golf course, you do what you want to do. I mean, I'm not going to argue that, but I think. There shouldn't be anybody that should be allowed to drive on the green.
So wait, whoa. We have this like Mitch Fortner research department for all those WTF facts.
Right.
What did the Mitch Fortner research department come up with as a reason for why you're not supposed to?
Everybody says you just don't do it. You do not drive a golf cart on the green. It's poor etiquette.
Yeah, I guess that's one of those where I'm just like, I'm surprised that it's that big of a deal. But yeah, it seemed like people were very upset. But trying to stir the pot the entire second hour here, Mitch.
That's not true. I'm just stating the facts, man.
You're so
this,
laid
this
back.
This did happen.
Laid back. Lull everybody to sleep. Thanks for listening to the game.
Now you can easily deposit checks.
You Can't Be Serious is coming up next. Great Stephen A. Smith audio. He went nuts. You're listening to the game.